Well, I think you've probably noticed that the Scots are taking over. I am not Mike Wilmer, pastor of this church. I am delighted, though, in many ways, to be his substitute. I did education as an undergraduate major, and I did some substitute teaching. Sometimes substitute teaching is not all that easy to endure or experience, but let's not go there. Let's think about a well-known tradition of substitutes in the Bible. Substitutes like the one that Abraham experienced as he climbed the mountain, and he was going to sacrifice his son, and yet God provided a substitute. And then there was John the Baptist, who in many ways was himself a substitute. He proclaimed the way of Christ. And so he substituted his life for the one who is the Savior. And of course, Jesus Christ himself was the substitute for our sins on the cross, taking away our sins and giving us life eternal. That's a substitute. I don't measure up to any of those substitutes, but I'm really pleased to be here today. Thank you. Will you please pray with me? Our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we come into your presence now and continue worship through your word, we trust that you would guide us as we open it, as we explore it, as we apply it. Will you please do your work in us all, so that through your work in us all, you might be glorified. We're grateful. And we thank you for that greatest substitute of all, Jesus Christ, the one who takes away all sin. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. There are movies, there are stories, there are fairy tales, and there are letters. And all of these have one thing in common. They end. It used to be that the old-time movies, at the conclusion of the movie, there would be the words, "the end," that would flash across the screen, and then the credits would roll. Stories and fairy tales conclude similarly, but they have a way in which they conclude that you're probably all familiar with. They end with words similar to, "and they all ended happily ever after." Letters finish with words like sincerely, cordially, with love. And then the person's name, at least that's how our modern letters end, don't they? How do you end your letters, whether they're handwritten on a piece of paper or they're typed on a computer screen? How do you end your correspondence? Well, today's passage that Scott read for us is at the very end of an ancient letter written by Pastor Paul to his congregation in Philippi. Old letters like these don't look like ours in that they don't end with someone's name. These ancient letters begin with someone's name, and in this case, Paul. But the letter still ends, the parchment's rolled up, the paper is folded and placed into an envelope. The question for us is, how does this letter end? What does Paul say here in this letter? How does he end it? Like our letters? What does he say? Now, if you look at that letter that Paul writes here to the Philippian church, you might think, oh, this is a really long letter. It's not something like the letters that you yourself would write, whether you handwrite them or type them out on your computer. They're not like the average letters that we write, but yet, after expressing his love and appreciation for these Philippian Christians and charging them to follow instructions about what it means to follow Jesus Christ faithfully in difficult times, he gives, at the very end of this letter, a brief and powerful conclusion. How would you write this last section of this letter to the Philippian Christians as they live life through difficult times. What would you say? Well, let's explore what Paul says to these Philippian Christians and what it says to us. So turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 to 23. That's page 1042 in the Pew Bibles. But I'm going to read it again. And what I want you to do is to listen to these three short verses and ask yourself, what is Paul getting at as he finishes up this impressive letter? What did he tell the Philippians as we read this text? And how can this letter be instructive to us in the 21st century? So let's find out by reading again here from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with the verse numbered 21. Paul writes, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Well, what do you think he's emphasizing at the end of this letter? On what does he focus? What does he tell them, and from what he tells them, what can be instructive to us? Well, he certainly says here that saints need encouragement. Saints need encouragement, and they gain encouragement through the act of remembering. You see this here in the text. Remembering is a key ingredient that Paul uses here for the Philippian Christians. Paul literally tells the Christians here in Philippi, "Remember me to all the saints in Christ Jesus." The word here, greet, that you find in verse 21, has the sense of remember to it. Tell the saints that I said hello, I being Paul, and they'd remember him fondly. Oh, yes, Paul, yeah, he's that little bearded rabbi, our church planting father. Oh, I certainly remember him. He said hello. The word remember or greet is used here three times in this tiny passage. And Paul asks the Philippians that they greet all the saints. Saints are Christians. Saints aren't some special category of Christian. Oh, that person's a saint and that person's not a saint. No, no. The New Testament teaches us that they are everyday people who've been made into redeemed men and women and boys and girls who follow Jesus Christ and have had their lives changed because of his sacrifice on the cross. They have had their sins forgiven. He also says here that they are to send greetings from the brothers, who would include Timothy. Brothers are Christians, saints. And then he says, give greetings from all the saints, what does he say? Especially those who belong to Caesar's household, suggesting that he's writing this letter from his imprisonment in Rome. These Christians, these saints in Caesar's household say, hello. They say hello to the Philippian Christians in Philippi. Now notice here the exchange of greetings that takes place in this little passage. From saint to saint to saints to saint. Back and forth, there's this sending of greetings, and there's this remembering that takes place of who these people are and what God has done in their lives and in the lives of those who receive the greetings. We're back to where this letter begins. If you just flip back to the first chapter, you'll see the letter begins with Paul's words to the saints. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints, to all the Christians in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. They are to remember who they are. Saints, changed people, changed because of Christ, because Christ has made a difference in their lives. He's made them holy, different, other because of the sacrifice that he gave for them on the cross. As for what Paul is doing here at the end of this letter, he's encouraging the saints. And these saints want and need encouragement. If you read the letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, you'll see that there are some struggles that are taking place both inside the church and outside the church. There are struggles in the church. There's tension. There's bickering. There are things that are going on that are not reflective of the redemption of Christ. And yet, there are those who are trying to influence the church to say, hey, what you need to do is to be circumcised in order to demonstrate your discipleship in Christ. And Paul is saying, this is a big problem. And through his teaching, he's saying, it's Christ alone. Living the Christian life wasn't easy for the Philippian believers. They needed encouragement. And the last bit of this letter is a powerful picture of encouragement. And believers, saints, are required to have that kind of encouragement in order to make it. You know, encouragement is something that can keep us going. There are all kinds of challenges in the Christian life. You might be going through a tough time living out your faith at work or in your neighborhood. And you might be ill and you're facing uncertain or a dark future, and you don't know what you're going to do as you make it through it. You want and need encouragement. You need that in order to move yourself forward. That's the case for all of us, but it's also the case for preachers. I needed encouragement when I was a pastor. I was single all the while I was in pastoral ministry. I'm now married. There's my wife, Rhonda, over there. But while I was there, I really appreciated how the churches embraced me and loved me as their pastor. But ministry can be tough. Lots of time demands and tending to the sick and reaching out to the needy or injured or counseling people or dealing with leaders and teaching Bible studies and preaching. You think that this is all the preachers do is on Sunday they stand up and preach. Yeah, I have a friend who says about pastoral ministries that some sheep bite. Just saying. One day I was in the going out to the mailbox and I found a postcard. And the postcard had lines from a hymn written on it. Just a couple lines. It said this: give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. And it was signed, Love, Dale. Dale was a man from my home church. He was like a father to me. And the words that he wrote in that short, brief note, and the thought he expressed in sending that note to me, filled me, inspired me, encouraged me. What he was saying here is, I'm on your team. We want people on our team, don't we? A cheering section that gives you the sense and confidence to know that you can make it through whatever you're facing, that you're not alone. Paul was like that to the Philippians. The Philippians were like that to Paul. Dale was like that to me. And we can be like that for each other. People and pastors. Encouragement enables us to keep going. Now, I know some of you aren't given to encouragement. I'm going to be honest. We're often concerned about ourselves. You know, the worship song, it's all about you, Jesus. It's flipped towards us. It's all about me. We don't even think about saying something to someone that's encouraging. What's she going to think if I say something? We're afraid that we might offend the person by saying, well, you might be afraid about what people think. But if you were the person who was in need of encouragement, you'd welcome it with open arms, wouldn't you? So I'm sure that these words of encouragement, too, would energize you, would help you to move ahead, that would fuel your future with faith. Words that are critical or demotivational. I have a friend, Haddon Robinson, who used to say, you need 10 attaboys for every one you jerk. He's right. If we aren't given to encouragement, make it a point today to say something to someone else, maybe even write a note, a text, whatever it is, because we all need it. Yeah, saints need encouragement. It's true that saints need encouragement, but we are only able to do it because saints are sustained by grace. You see this in the text, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The last statement is also a reminder of the beginning of the letter. If you flip again back to the very first part of the letter in chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul ends the letter reminding the believers here in Philippi that no matter what they face, no matter what they face, they are able to do so because of the grace of God given them in Christ. Grace is God's kindness that we don't deserve. Those of you who call yourselves Christian, who really have given yourselves to Jesus Christ, have turned away from the life that you used to live, you know what I mean when I say kindness that we don't deserve. Christians have come to terms with what they and who they really are in God's sight. Sinners, men and women who need a Savior, who can't have a relationship with God on their own. But because He's loved us in Christ and has forgiven us our sins, He's given us something that we don't deserve. This is grace. This is grace that we don't deserve. Paul understood that. You see, Paul was pursuing Christians. He wasn't a Christian at the time, he was a rabid rabbi, and he was pursuing Christians to persecute them. But God pursued him with grace. In verse 23 here, it is often understood as what's called a benediction. Good words, bene, good diction words from the Latin. And these good words read, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The kindness of God in Christ is what's going to sustain the Philippian believers and us. The letter is done. The scroll is rolled up. No more words for Paul except those endearing and encouraging words that linger in the minds of the Philippian believers. The words he told them is that they can make it through the challenges that they saw dealt with in this letter, and they can do it with God's grace. Paul knows. You know. I know. Saints are sustained by grace. And be with your spirit. What he's saying here is that this grace is with you. John Newton wrote the words to Amazing Grace, and he knew what he was writing about. Newton was a slave trader. As captain of his own ship, he encountered a horrific storm, and he cried out to God for God's help, and God helped him. And he realized at this point that God's grace was working in his life. He gave up trading slaves and started studying the Bible. He became a pastor in the Church of England, and he composed this testimony like him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. The kindness of God's grace is amazing. We don't deserve it. And yet, as believers, our lives are sustained by grace. As believers, not only is our lives sustained by grace, but we can extend that grace to each other as well. Now, we may think that we can live this life with clenched fists and that we can pull ourselves up and that we even deserve God's grace. We're wrong. We don't deserve God's grace at all. That's what we think. In fact, I have a friend who often says, sometimes it doesn't pay some people to think. If we think that we can make it on our own, we're misdirected and will in the end discover that we were wrong. The text is plain. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with our spirit is the only way that we can make it through life. I wish I could put a pretty bow on it, give it some classy hair highlights or some mascara, or if it were food, maybe put a mint leaf on it or a dab of whipped cream. But the truth of the matter is, without grace, we're goners. Saints are sustained by grace. This paragraph that Paul writes, verses 21 to 23, is the final word that he has for the Philippian church. And it's a good word for us as well. There's no better way to end this passage, this powerful letter, than Paul's words to these Philippian Christians to remind them that they are the church, the called out ones, saints. And in the middle of all that's going on in our lives, the attempts to dilute our faith, or the things that distract us, or the challenges that we face, we have something specific that this text tells us to do, and it is this. Saints, encourage each other, because saints are sustained by grace. Paul's letter to the Philippians is a letter of encouragement. The church faced challenging problems, as I mentioned, and he addresses them so that they, these believers, might be able to function as examples for Christ wherever they are. The letter oozes here with pastoral care. And in this letter, we see the strokes of Paul's encouragement in the ink of his words. And as a believer, as a saint, Paul extends encouragement to the Philippians and reminds them that they are sustained by grace. God's grace will help you through whatever you are going through. But we need each other to cheer each other on along the way. And Paul does that all throughout this simple letter, encouraging the believers. I'm going to mention some passages as we start with chapter 1, verse 1. He calls them all saints. In chapter 1, verse 6, he calls them partners in the gospel. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says they all share with God's grace with Paul. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says they're called to be like-minded. In chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says to think of others before themselves. In chapter 2, verse 5, he says to have the same attitude as Christ. Chapter 2, verse 13, he says to act according to what God wants to do in their lives. In chapter 2, verse 14, he says, be blameless and pure as shining examples like stars. Chapter 3, verse 15, he says, be mature. Chapter 3, verse 17, he says, live like I live. Chapter 4, verse 5, he says, be an example of gentleness. In chapter 4, verse 9, he says, put into practice what I have taught you. This is all done by the wonderful medicine of encouragement. This puts into practice what Pastor Mike taught us last week, to delight in harmony. And one of the ways in which we delight in harmony is to cultivate in our lives and in this vibrant body here at First Baptist, encouragement. Saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Remind each other as believers that we can encourage each other to make it through life because of God's kindness, because of God's grace. Will you say this with me? Saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Okay, could it put you to the test? Turn to the group of folks around on your right and say, saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Go ahead, tell them. Go ahead. Okay, now you've done that well, good job. Now look to the people on your left and say, saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. We don't want to forget that fact, and we want to encourage each other with it. You might be passing through a dark time in your life with your relationship with God, and I want to encourage you that saints are sustained by grace. You might be dealing with family matters that are oppressing, a debilitating sickness that won't go away, financial tests that keep you awake at night. Christians aren't immune from these challenges. But I want to say this to you, church. Saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Put it in a note. Say it on the phone. Communicate it in a conversation. Saints encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. We want to be cultivating encouragement in each other for the long haul. Encouraging each other to be faithful in Christ. Encouraging each other when we know others are going through difficult times. To encourage them that they can make it. So this means we put it into practice today. I said I was an education major. This means we put it into practice today. So at the end of this service, church members, you hear me, don't rush out of your seats. Encourage those around you, but not just those you know. It's easy to be chatty with people you know. Encourage those you don't know. Not everyone looks like us, but everyone needs encouragement. One way to do this is to simply say hello and mean it. Our college students have returned. And what a great way to put into practice encouraging words. Get to know them. Get to know their names. Ask them questions. Engage with them. But also reach out to people whom you've seen in this service of worship week after week, and you don't even know their names. Come on, folks. Get to know them. Say hello. Greet them. College students, you're not off the hook. Don't rush out of here. Encourage your fellow college students, but also get to know people in this church. Say hello. Greet them. Ask them even how I could pray for you. I know we may feel awkward about doing all of this, but it's a good way to begin. The writer of Proverbs knows the value of encouragement. He writes, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Both the encourager and the one who's encouraged win out. But I also realize that some of you want to give up. You might have thought that Christians don't have problems. Christians have problems, but they have something that non-Christians don't have. The grace, the ability to make it because God is in it. Don't be foolish to think that just because you're a believer that all will be well. The Philippians had difficulties. We have difficulties too. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, this grace giver, you can this morning by recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness of your sins and that you need him in your life because he's the only one who can forgive. Saints, encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Several years ago, I was with a group of folks and we were hiking the White Mountains of New Hampshire. We were on this one particular mountain and we were making our way to the top and we were going to go from the top down the side of the mountain because we were going to rappel down the mountain. One after another of my fellow hikers clipped on to the rope and made their way down the mountain. I was on a rock with my backpack. I was laying up, looking up, and I was hyperventilating. And I didn't tell you I'm afraid of heights. And so I was laying there, and all of a sudden, Deb came over. And Deb looked at me, and she leaned over me, and she knew I was afraid. I was frightened. And she leans over me, and she takes her hands and slaps my face, and she says, "You can do it, babe." And I did. Clipped onto the rope, and I made it way down the side of the mountain. And I want to tell you all, you can do it, babe. Saints, encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. You may not know what is going to happen in your life, your vocation, your future, but we all need that help and strength from each other to encourage each other. You may not know what the next steps may be in your relationships, in your job, or your health, or what's going to happen after graduation, or even what's going to happen in this church. But I want to say, saints, encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. You'll notice here in the text, it doesn't end with the word amen. Amen means so be it or I'm in agreement. And many of the early manuscripts of this letter include that word at the end of the letter. It's a great way to end, isn't it? Saints, encourage each other because saints are sustained by grace. Do you believe it? Do you agree? If you do believe it and you agree, then say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus Christ, gracious Savior, O Holy Spirit, great encourager, O gracious Father, the one who is above all, we give ourselves to you, and we trust that you would forgive us our sins, draw us to yourself, make us new, renewed people, redeemed people, saints because of Christ. And Lord, would you guide those who call themselves Christians, who call themselves saints, to put into practice today what we're called to do and be, and that is to encourage each other. Will you do that? Enable us by the power of your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen.